We're continuing in verse 2. We're down to the word revilers. They are revilers or brutal. Different translations mean the same. They were blasphemers. They speak evil of religion and civil order and good. You see people with their bumper stickers, resist authority. You can see the rebellious spirit in them. They're selfish. That's what they are. They want everything their way. They don't like everybody being good because they don't want to be good. And so they revile, speak evil against religion, a good citizen. They have no good to say about them. They make up lies and slanders. One of the apostles, I don't know if it's Paul or Peter, probably both, he said, no reviler. Well, that would be Paul, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So he warns Christians, don't lose your temper. You can be angry at times, but don't revile people. Start cursing them and yelling at them, and then you've entered into the same state they're in. So we had to be enduring and patient, but we can be angry, and we can punish those in the church proper ways. We can disfellowship from them at times, but we're not told to beat them and yell at them and curse. That's of the world. It's not of God. Okay? So they were revilers. Disrespectful to parents. Teens and young adults, they're ungrateful to adults for the good and the sacrifices many of their parents did. Well, we know some parents are wicked and they don't deserve anything. You don't have to have a godly, you respect them, but you don't have to yield to them or obey them if they're led of the devil and they're wicked. But he's talking about in general, parents raise their kids and care for them and make sacrifices, and yet they despise or are respectful. They think they're owed something. Well, many people, they bring it on themselves. They spoil their kids. They don't discipline them properly. And that's why the kids think that way. They've not been disciplined and taught properly. And they think everybody owes them something. But nobody owes them anything, see? But that's the attitude of their heart. Ungrateful, unthankful. No regard for what is due them. Many societies, we don't have the systems. So they had required to take care of their parents as they got older, and their parents turned over their monies and a land and let their sons rule for them. They did that. Well, we don't do that today. Everybody wants to die independent. Many a man keeps inheritance away from his kids so he can enjoy himself, and then when he spends it all, he expects his kids to help him. They're not obligated to. Paul told the widows that the church took in, that if they prayed and washed the feet of saints and were godly, you can take them in. He said other ones that were frivolous, he said reject them. Church was, and Christians not required to take care of stupid, wicked people. He said you make a decision. And so that's what he meant. You take care of the godly as God commands you to. And so the Jews weren't doing that. The Pharisees would take the monies and all that was given to them. And then when their children came for help, they said, we can't help you. We've given it to the temple. That's why Jesus called them hypocrites. They wanted to be seen by other people and other Pharisees how they can give and how, but they wouldn't even take care of their own family. So they were hypocrites as far as God's concerned. So people like that, they're ungrateful. They think everybody owes them something. Nobody owes them anything. Unholy, disrespectful for God and any kind of right living. They enjoy the wicked sins and pleasures. That's why Jesus said, the world hate me and they're going to hate you. He said, if you were of the world, they'd love you. Because the world says, live and let live. I'm okay, you're okay. You don't find too many faults with me. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. Well, the Christian had to live morally upright, and it made them uncomfortable. It revealed how wicked they were. That's why they hated them. And that's why they hated Christ. And it ain't changed, okay? So they want to enjoy themselves, and they look at each other. Many of them go to church, yeah. And they look around and say, I'm as good as these people. They don't know that most of those people are on their way to hell. God isn't measuring them by these people. People tell me, well, I don't go to certain groups because there's a hypocrite. I say, well, you live with hypocrites all your life and you're one. It shouldn't bother you. Then they look at you. See, they're looking for an excuse not to be godly, not to do good. That's their wicked nature. They're giving in to it. Now we're going to read verse 3 and 4 together. They're unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good. Oh, my. Oh, let's read 4. We'll come back to it. Treacherous, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. We'll quote on this one later. People say, I love God. Well, the scripture says you're a liar and truth's not in you. You have a feeling and affection. The love of God is keep his word. That's the foundation. If you don't keep his commandments and follow him, you hate God. That's how God looks at it. And people are shocked. Well, I don't hate God. Yes, you do. Your actions prove you do. And that's how God's going to interpret. He's not interested in your sentimentality. You have the same sentimentality towards your dog and your cat. It's nothing spiritual about it, okay? But they love their pleasures and their life. They seek to find what they want. That's what Jesus said. If you find your life, he said, you'll lose it. Because the self-life is selfish and motivated by selfishness, self-seeking, pleasures, and the devil encourages these things. So the lovers of wicked pleasures and often the cares of this life. Some people are not outwardly wicked. They've just given over to materialism and living the good life. And they think, I'm not doing nothing wrong. I earned this. Well, the Christian can do many things in moderation. Does it talk about extravagance and luxury in the Bible? So if you tell a person, oh, I'm a fine Christian. Oh, by the way, I'm worth $200 million. Well, you're not a fine Christian. You're a covetous person. Because it's sitting there not doing any bit of good. See, they don't like to hear that. They think the bigger groups they have, it was just true. And the more people, the more money they make. And the more famous they are. And everybody confirms and says, oh, you're such a wonderful person. Can you imagine the hell they're going to? They're going to be speechless on that day. Okay. On the natural love of parents for having children, they're unloving. They don't have natural love. It's going to get worse. People are not going to care for their kids as much or parents or anybody as it gets darker and darker. People will become more selfish overall. Parents have no regard for their children's and the children for their parents, no regard. Affection of family and friends will become cold and people will pursue their own desires. It's all selfishness, isn't it? Irreconcilable, malicious slanderers. They keep no promises that they give, no oaths. They have no intentions of keeping it when they give their word. They slander to try to ruin other people's good name because they have a bad name and they're jealous. They lie and they falsely accuse them. And Jesus said, they'll falsely accuse you for my name's sake. He said, that's what they'll do to the true Christian. Okay? They're haters of any good, for the good in their lifestyles convict them and disturb their conscience. When they see a person living morally upright and good, and they're fornicators and adultery, part of them don't like that. See, because it shows them you're lacking something. So, and their conscience, if they have any, starts to disturb them. God intends for it to. And say, you should live this way. You're a wicked person. Well, so they want to kill the messenger. They don't want people knowing this because they're so proud and self-loving. They're lovers of pleasures rather than the lovers of God. This speaks of the sin of sexual vices and perversions of all kinds of sexual immoralities. It means they would rather give themselves over to these pleasures than obey God. That was the drawing of all the nations around Moses and the children of Israel. They tried to lure them away from being whole. Jehovah was the only one that required holiness. And the people often would sneak out and mingle with these people and join their pleasures. Most of their religions emphasize having perverse sex with each other and all kinds. No wonder they liked it. Wicked people like that, don't they? Well, even when Moses came down after 40 days, they got tired of him and they threw a big party. And if you study some of the what was written back then, even outside the Bible, 20-some thousand of them. They were dancing around naked and having sex with each other public. They were perverse. And that's why God killed them. He was going to kill the whole nation for putting up with it. That's when the Levites got the priesthood. God said, arm yourselves and go kill them. Doesn't matter if they're your mother, your father, your son. You kill those wicked people. And they did. And he gave them the priesthood. So he wanted them holy. Human nature don't want to be holy. So if you don't keep your close walk with the Lord and under the law and the rituals, they would keep people busy and remind them of who God was and what he required. But many people didn't want that. They were lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. This speaks, as we've said, of sins, of sexual vices, and perversions of every kind. Adultery, fornication, impurity, immorality, corruption. These are all sins. People today won't want to hear it. They make all excuses. The Bible only justifies sex relations between a married man and a woman. Any other forms is included in the word fornication. And Hebrews says, marriage is honorable in everybody, but adulterers and fornicators God will judge. So he's not changed. So these people under Moses, they sneak around and meet with their fellow neighbors because they pushed all of the perversion and sexual vices. And the children of Israel threw a great party when Moses was up on the mountain. And they were having sexual dances and nudity. And God had 20-some thousand of them killed. He could have killed them all. Well, three times he was going to kill them, but he let Moses intercede. God does not wistfully say things and not mean it. He told Moses once, stand aside and I'll wipe all of these people out and I'll start over with you. Oh, it may have delayed things 200 or 300 years. He wasn't just threatening. He meant it. And Moses prayed and he allowed him to reach him. But there was a time Israel was so wicked, God said, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, I would not listen. So there are times he can be moved, and he moves intercessors. He said, at one time Israel was so wicked, he said, I looked for an intercessor, and there was none, so I destroyed them. They got what they deserved. He didn't have to give them extended mercy. Jesus said, if the people of Sodom and Gomorrah had heard the message he gave, they would have repented a long time ago. But God judged them when their iniquity was full, and he did not extend that mercy. That was his right. They got justice. They got a lot of justice, and they got a lot of grace. God waited and waited. So that's why Jesus threatened the towns and cities he went to. He said, Sodom and Gomorrah will fare better than you. He named them and said, you'll be cursed. So everybody who listened to Jesus and did not repent, they're going to be punished worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And we always know Sodom and Gomorrah in the Old Testament is set up as the worst type of people, okay? So he's not playing with them. These are called transgressions, the sexual sins, adultery, fornication. They're not lawful pleasures. See, God gives gifts and that'll be used lawfully. To transgress means you go beyond it. So God set marriage and sex and the emotional affection to be pleasurable and bind the people together. But when they go off and commit adultery, they pervert the gifts he gives and he'll judge them for it. God intended for money to meet your needs and to help people. He did not mean to make yourself a billionaire and squander on yourself. That's covetousness. So every gift of God can be perverted and is perverted. That's what man does. He perverts. So To transgress is means to go beyond what God has established. Don't go any further. But man's nature, he likes to go further. The gifts become idolatry. They worship the creation more than the creator. And you look at these programs, all they talk about is nature. They don't give God any credit. They're supposed to be brilliant people. See, they don't want to give God credit. It all evolved. And see, God is keeping records. And these scientists can be dropped into the lake of fire and go deep. See, he can put up with it because it's idolatry. They worship the creation rather than the creator who is blessed forevermore. So you can see why, since God is angry with the sinner all day long, people don't believe that. Jesus said, if they believe in the Son, they'll be saved. If they do not believe, he said, the wrath of God remains on them. That means anger, indignation, and wrath is punishment. He'll bring punishment on them. So that's the attitude he has toward people who won't come to the Lord after he's been gracious and long-suffering with them. No, he's not this sentimental Santa Claus. He's not up there wringing his hands hoping you get saved to stay out of hell. That's not even mentioned. Hell is the truth, what's going to happen. But you don't even find the apostles over-preaching them to the righteous. He just says, you warns you what happens to the wicked and what will happen to you if you go back to the world. But that is not the mainstay of Christianity. The person wants to know God and be in relationship and love God, because if you don't do it here, you're not going to make it to heaven. He don't need you there, okay? They go beyond transgress, excessive debauchery, that's what we have. It means all kinds of sexual, perverse, try out new things. Well, see, many people, when they do things, they get tired of it. They want something new. It never ends. The flesh is never satisfied. There's only one cure for the flesh of man. We're talking about the carnal nature, not just the body. The only cure is put it to death and keep it there, not let it raise its head up. Oh, the potential's still there. And we'll have that until we're raptured or we die. When we get the new man, that part will be left behind. It's not going anywhere, but it's still there. So that's why we have temptations and trials. That's why we are tempted by the flesh and the world and many of these things. And we have to overcome the old nature and make it mine. That's what Paul said. I buffet and bruise myself, make it mine. I won't give in to it, is what he's saying. Okay. Mingling and enjoying false idols and fellowship, because basically they were built on perverse sexual things. Rome, the Greeks, all of them. You go back and study their history, you'll find what their gods were like. Paul said they were demons, okay? They went off to the Gentile religions because it promoted sex and fornication and perversions. It let them gratify their lower nature. And they didn't care about anything. People say, well, God wants to be happy. You don't find that in Scripture clearly. It says God wants you holy. If you find your life, you're going to hell. Christians need to wake up and read that Scripture. You have to overcome the natural abilities of the flesh and its pleasures. Said Moses, he forsook the pleasures of the world to serve the Lord. It cost him too. He was a prince of Egypt at one time. He had to make a decision. He made the right one. He loved God and obeyed God rather than be a prince of Egypt. Okay. God demands holiness and purity in all who worship him. All worship is vain and hypocrisy, and God's going to judge it more severely. When people go to buildings, and they sing and praise the Lord, and as soon as they get out, they're having affairs, and they're greedy, and they're liars. They're going to a deeper hell. They better stay home. Don't gather with true Christians, because you're going to bring judgment on yourself. So they were led to satisfy their perverse, unholy natures, and Jehovah God demanded holiness. He said, I am a God. I'm the same. I change not. Jesus Christ, it says in Hebrews, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he told the Philip and them, you who've seen me have seen the Father. I'm showing you what he's like. He's in me. I do exactly what he says. I see the Father work and I work. And then he says, and I and the Father are one. See, he's making it plain. He was God in the flesh, limited in his human body, but not in his divine nature to run the universe, because all the laws of the universe have to be sustained by him. If he closes his eyes, everything does not exist anymore. And that's why Paul could say, we live and we move and we have our existence in God. He's in and everything's in him and upheld by him. Okay. Verse 5, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. People don't do this part. Avoid such men as these. These are hypocrites. These are people who claim to be Christians, and they're ungodly people. Don't have fellowship with them, he said. Well, it don't leave many places to go now, does it? Having or holding to an outward form of Christianity. That's Christendom. That's 2 billion people. As a fourth of the world claims to be devoted to Christ, and Jesus is going to say to most of them, I never knew you. You were never mine. You workers of lawlessness. He didn't talk, but they said, Lord, Lord. They believed he was the Lord. They believed he died on the cross. They believed he resurrected. They believed he was their Lord. And they talked about all the good they did for him. He didn't even challenge it. He said, you're workers of lawlessness. Depart from me into everlasting punishment. He said, I never knew you. You were never mine. There could be a lot of shocked people, aren't there? They go to church. They're observing certain rituals and ceremonies. They give money. And they do a lot of outward humanitarian deeds. And then they can say, look, I'm a Christian. They think that's going to measure up against their selfish self-seeking and their secret sins. But it's not going to. See? It doesn't fool God. The sacrifices of a prostitute, male or female, or a thief, is abomination to the Lord. You add more judgment to yourself. He don't want nothing from a wicked person but repentance. He can take what he wants. What does he need yours for? Okay? Yet inwardly, they're in their secret lives and their centers. Had someone call me years ago, and outwardly he's a good Christian, and I think he lived good. And he spent hours in pornography every day, but nobody else knew that. I said, God knows. I said, you better deal with it. You're not going to last. And you may have already forfeited. Because we're not talking about a one-time act. We're talking about someone given the, what did Paul say? If you practice these things, any kind of sin, like he said, you will not make it to heaven. Why? Because you're not a Christian anymore. See, you don't tolerate it. Okay. Going to a confessional ain't going to help if you don't repent and stop the thing. Okay. They reject and do not practice what is godly. They don't use the grace and power to overcome wickedness. They have no power to live practical, holy, and good moral lives. See? It means they profess to be godly outwardly, but they deny its power because they don't have this power of the Spirit. The sins rule them. And Christianity says it gives us grace that we do not have to submit to the works of the flesh and the devil. They shall not have dominion over it. Well, many people quote that, but the devil still has dominion because they're still doing it. They say, well, it's God's grace. No, God's grace isn't working. If you're not overcoming that, grace is not working. You can claim all the grace you want. Oh, I've had people tell me, we're the righteousness of Christ heavily play. That says you're not if you're in sin. You can claim all you want, but it ain't going to happen. Okay? More deception is what is going to happen. They believe lies and they don't believe the power and grace can help them. They indulge in every sin, thinking they will go to heaven. Once saved, always saved. Isn't that a wonderful one? Let me tell you something. If once saved, always saved was true, it's the best gospel going. Because you can live like the devil and got a ticket to heaven. And Paul said, you're a foolish person. God will judge you by your works. You can claim all the faith and grace you want, or all the experiences you had in the past. And that branch may have bore fruit a while. And then the Father will cut it off and burn it when it stops. Okay? People need to be reminded of that. We have to endure our probation, our warfare. I get so sick of people saying, oh, I read the end of the book. We have victory. I said, that don't mean you. That means the one that overcomes. If you're not overcoming, that don't apply to you. Uh-huh. And God, nothing can separate us from the love of God. They love that one. Nothing. It's all grace. I said, look for one word there you won't find. Sin. He's talking to spirit-filled believers who are following the Lord, who are not practicing sin. Then he says, nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's true. But if you're in sin, you're being separated. That will separate you from God. Okay? He said, avoid these people. Well, people don't like that. Don't have fellowship. Sometimes we have to deal in the world and do things and do certain things, and we're given liberty as long as we don't enter into sin. But when a person claims to be a Christian and lives that way, we're not supposed to have nothing to do with them. You don't eat with them. You don't socialize with them because God doesn't, and he don't expect you to do it, okay? Well, people can't do that one. They let their families and friends override the word of God. But somebody's keeping records, and it's going to come in to God's attention eventually, okay? So they're practicing gross sin, and we're not talking about petty things, things that we deal with and fight. We're talking about everybody knows what gross sin is, okay? And at judgment day, the Lord will say to many of those, most of them, they meant to believe. He said, but I don't know you. I never knew you. Never knew you. Because you were workers of lawlessness. They weren't under the law of Moses. And they're supposed to be under the law of Christ. And he says, you're not under me. You call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I tell you to do. He says, why call me Lord, Lord if you do not do what I... Because, see, back then, they understood slavery. And they lived around. And it's believed 20% or more of Christians in the first century were probably slaves. And Paul told them, you might be a slave, but you're free before the Lord. He has the right to do with you and override your circumstance. And then he told the Christian that wasn't a slave, you're the Lord's slave. Aha. Uh-huh. Well, we don't like that when we have independence and liberty and it's true or you're not his. So he says, if you're going to call me Lord, Lord, you better obey me. You're a bond servant. You're a love slave. When it comes to duty, you're my slave. I may have you as my son and daughter in the Lord, but if you don't obey me, you're going to forfeit it. See, it's locked up together as far as God is concerned. So when people say they love God, ask them, are they obeying God's commandments or disobeying them? Spiritual commandment. Oh, are you following the Lord? Workers and doers is what the word means. Workers, doers of lawlessness. They don't obey him. One cannot say Lord from his heart and not obey him. It said, these are the sons of God, those who are led of the Spirit. And the Spirit is Christ. He is that Spirit. And it means led is progressive, continuous. So if you are not following the Lord, he ain't talking about a one time that you came and started the race. You got to finish the race. You have to be faithful to the end. Everybody else thinks, oh, I got my salvation now. Now I can live my own life. You're going to weep and gnash your teeth in the lake of fire for your stupidity and that nothing can be done about it because you wouldn't listen to anybody. They did the same under the law and under the prophets. They went to the temple. They worshiped and they were singing and they had beautiful musical instruments and they loved doing it. And God said, I hate your gatherings. I despise your singing and your worship and your instruments, for you honor me with your lips, yet your heart is far from me. It ain't changed, has it? And as today in the many mega churches and liberal churches, people do the same thing. They worship God in vain. It means they don't mean nothing to God. He'd treat them better at Judgment Day if they stay away and stop acting like a hypocrite. They wouldn't get as much punishment. They want to worship God on their terms. They want to serve God and do as they please. That sounds like the prosperity doctrine, doesn't it? Worshiping God is not mere external forms of reading scripture and singing pleasant music to make one feel good. They mistake feel-good emotions as God's presence. No proof. In false religions and false Christianity, you have a lot of people that feel good, shout and yell and dance. They're fanatics. They hyperventilate and pass out. They think it's the spirit. I've been around seeing that over my 55 years or so. It don't prove nothing. When they get up off the floor, they're just as mean as they ever were. See, voodooism does that. Spiritism. Many false forms of Christianity. They work themselves up into a frenzy and they tell themselves it's God. That's a human emotion. May or may not be. God doesn't form these emotions apart from He's one with us. He will use them. But you're not going to use Him. He's not interested in that. He's a bunch of foolishness. Okay? We're going to go ahead and stop now. Lord, give us wisdom and understanding. Help us see practical holiness and Christianity in these dark and darker times, that we will finish our probation and endure to the end by the grace of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.